You are listening to Screenfish Radio. I'm your host, Steve Norton. When times are tough, what stories do you turn to? Our new series, Comfort Films, is designed to look at the stories that are important to us and why they help bring us up when everything feels down. This week, Screenfish interns Daniel Collins of Teenfish and Jonathan Stowe stop by the show to chat about finding reverse hope in 2012, mental catharsis through psychological thrillers, and making our home at the office. So grab a coffee and get comfortable. This is Screenfish. Now he's off. What's happening?
Oh, the whole thing just disappeared. Do you have your screen shared?
No. Would you like it to be?
Okay, that's better. I don't know what that's happened.
Ah, forget it. I'll just leave it like that. Y'all can look at my pretty face.
Okay.
Welcome to the podcast. We're so glad you could join us this week as we continue to talk about comfort films. Those films that we turn to bring us up when things are down. And this week, we have formed an elite team of the finest interns that you could possibly assemble. Daniel Collins of Teenfish and Jonathan Stowe. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, we work together, so it was really easy to get in contact with you.
True.
No, I'm glad you guys could come on. The obvious question is this, as we are still in the middle of COVID and self-isolation. How are you guys? How are things going?
Honestly, I'm doing well. My family's doing well. When this whole, lockdown, social distancing things started, I wasn't too worried, as I'm generally a person like a homebody. I like to, kind of be home. I am starting to kind of get to the point where, I want to go out and see my friend, like, physically and, be able to hang out and, kind of chat, person to person rather than over Skype or Zoom or just on the phone in general. But I mean, other than that, like, I'm doing the best I can be with, like, given the circumstances.
Yeah. You're at home with your family in the apartment. It must be getting tough in a space like that.
I mean, kind of. It's a small apartment and there's, five of us plus three pets, so it can get crowded sometimes, but most of the time, I'm in my room, my brothers are in their room, my parents are, out in the living room, so, it's not like we're all really in one room at the same time, so it doesn't get too crazy. We all just kind of keep to ourselves for most of the time.
All right, that's fair. Jonathan, how about you? How are you doing?
It's been good. Yeah, it was obviously my birthday today, so thanks, guys, for wishing me happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
But it's been overall pretty hard at times. There's times where you wake up and you do your typical routine and you're like, okay, this is not bad. But then once you're out of routines to do, you're kind of struggling to figure out what you really want to do. And you really can't do so much. And because everything's closed, you can't really go anywhere. So I would say it's 50-50. It's definitely good at times. Definitely has its bad moments, especially towards the night / afternoon time. But it's the time when I wake up and I do the things that I need to do on my schedule, if it's working out, if it's doing errands or groceries or, or just doing things that, you learn off of YouTube or TikTok or whatever. Those are the good moments for sure. But once it gets towards the nights when there's really nothing to do and there's really nothing open, and all you have is literally just watching, Netflix or Amazon Prime or Disney Plus or whatever it is, it kind of gets a little bit boring. But overall, I'm doing pretty good. I just hope that everything kind of clears up as soon as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And we continue to do okay too. Now that things we've gotten to a little bit more of a groove with the schooling and whatnot. But let's talk about your COVID experience. I mean, I'm glad that you guys are doing okay. Has there been any unique self isolation or COVID stories that you've experienced?
Well, Basically, I would say not from me, but from what I've seen from my community and also what I've seen from the city of Toronto. There's definitely been a whole lot of good stories. A lot of people donated food. A lot of people, you know, chipping in to help local restaurants. Like, those have been great specifically. And you don't really get that a whole lot, especially when it's a regular day on Earth. But I think the biggest thing for me is just seeing, like, at least in my community, like, my neighbors just constantly talking to each other, even though, like, there's the scare factor of not knowing who has COVID and who doesn't. Seeing a lot of the people in my condo talking to the older people and making them feel like it's a regular day and everything's okay. And then also the factor is, too, is that even, like, when I go to, like, the grocery store, which is, like, really right next to me and stuff, just seeing customers and the employees still interact with each other, even through the plastic screen that's there to protect their employees and the customers, that's still so good, because at the same time, it doesn't really make you feel like you're actually in, like, an apocalypse sort of thing where, like, everyone's defended for themselves and no one's talking to each other and, you know, like, everyone has suspicions of, oh, that person might have it, that person might not have it, like, whatever. Like, there's still that close niche sort of thing where, even though this is a big thing and everyone's wearing masks and gloves and we have to be 6 feet apart, there's still that sort of interaction. And that's what makes, you know, I feel like the days when you're out a little bit better, because, you know, as much as you want to avoid people, which obviously you should be doing, practice social distancing, at the same time, you still want to, at times, still talk to people, because a lot of people need that social aspect, right? They can't go, you know, weeks, months without talking to people physically. They need that interaction. So the fact that, you know, it's still shown here, at least here in Toronto, I don't know about the rest of Canada, but here in Toronto, it's a good thing going forward. And it makes me feel good, because I know for a fact the movie I want to talk about later on, you know, it's completely the other way, completely the other way around on how the movie shows interaction during something bad like that compared to how we are interacting with people in our own community.
Now, you said the people in your apartment are talking with one another, like, from their balconies, or they're actually, like, going and visiting people? Like, I was just curious what that looks like.
They're basically, like, just, like, in the hallway.
Oh, okay.
And basically, like, they're just, like, kind of talking from wherever, you know, their room is. Like, their, I would say, places to where your place is.
Right.
Sometimes where you might just walk in the same hallway, going from place to place, from point A to B. And, you know, and, like, you kind of stop at a 6 feet distance and, like, you chat a little bit, and then you walk, you know, your distancing way sort of thing. But it's just, like, it's just really great. Like, I remember the first day we did this, and I ran into, like, my neighbor, and we were just, like, saying, you know what, we're not going to talk at all. We're just going to kind of pass by. And then we left. And then, like, literally, like, a week later, we ran to each other, and it wasn't like, oh, like, let me pass by. It was like a stop and, how are you doing? Like, how's your mom doing? Like, how are your parents doing? Like, how are you doing at home? Like, you know, you work from home, you not work from home, da da da. So, like, you can see that, like, as time has gone on, at least in my community, people have actually shown interest in conversation and caring about one another and knowing, like, oh, you know, if you need anything, just, like, let me know. Like, I'm right next door or I'm down the hall from you. I can get you groceries, da da da, that sort of thing. So,
that's really cool. Daniel, what about you?
I mean, I've definitely experienced, you know, very similar things within, like, my building as well, and, you know, going to grocery stores. But I guess a more personal thing that happened, I know I've talked, I've spoken kind of briefly about it to you guys before, but I ended up hurting my foot just a couple weeks ago. I was out walking my dogs with my mom, and we had ended up, like, stopping at a family friend's house. And she has a dog of her own. She ended up bringing him out and, you know, was holding him at, like, one side of their, like, front yard. And we were on the other. So, you know, still practicing, like, the social distancing and everything. And at one point, like, I was kind of on, like, the little curb that led up to their grass area. And I wasn't paying attention. And I had, like, stepped off of the curb. and their driveway wasn't completely even. And because I wasn't paying attention, my foot kind of like went like under itself, I guess.
Right.
And I ended up hearing like a popping, cracking noise. I'm not entirely sure exactly what it was. I, you know, went home, put it up, put like ice on it and everything, compression, all of that. And it's, you know, just been healing for the past 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks and like a few days. We were definitely scared at first that it might've been broken. And like, especially for me, like I'm like not the biggest fan of hospitals in the first place. And having the added of it, you know, right now, like Jonathan said earlier, you don't know if somebody has COVID, if they don't, like, especially being in a hospital, it's like, I was thinking definitely like that's, yeah, you know, the biggest chance I would have to possibly catch it. And especially, you know, with my mom, she is like immunosuppressed, like somebody in our family getting it, like would really not be good for her.
Yeah.
So I was definitely really scared about that and was kind of like, you know, I don't want to go to a hospital. I don't think it's broken, you know, whatever. I still don't think that it's broken. It's almost completely fine now. There's still just like a little bit of pain kind of in the direct spot, I guess, where I hurt it. But at first it was definitely like kind of the whole side of my foot. But I know I was definitely telling myself at the beginning, when I very first heard it, I'm kind of glad that if I did hurt it, it happened at this time because I'm not doing anything. Whereas like generally around this time in like a normal year, we would have just done like March break camp. So if I would have hurt this, like, you know, the week before March break camp or the week of, it would have been a lot worse. Or just, you know, in general, like if it COVID wasn't happening right now, like I would be going out and about more than more than not, I guess. And so, you know, it's healing and I'm glad it happened, at least at the time that it did.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because on the one hand, it's no better because you're still stuck at home.
Yeah.
But in some ways, I guess that's probably just as good because you're not actually missing out on the things that you would normally be doing at this point is with your foot injured, right? Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah, well, my COVID story this week is a little different. But it has been interesting. First of all, and I will say this, we had takeout last night, and it is interesting to go get takeout and feel like that somehow makes you more human. But that was, I was like, I drove through a drive-thru and I, you know, it was all touchless and all this stuff, but it was still like, oh, I'm in a drive-thru. Normal life. But that's not even my story. I think my story this week has been the journey of doing social distancing schooling with my kids, which is a fascinating experience of doing social distancing kindergarten. And I give the teachers all the credit because I know that this must be so bizarre for them. And they are coming up with assignments and getting them every week and checking the readings and marking them online and everything. So they're doing a great job. But there's some funny things like kindergarten work is just you don't log online with kindergartners. So you have to get all these assignments like all of a sudden I'm doing arts and crafts in my home and stuff like that. That's been interesting. But the funniest thing to me has been digital recess. That is a thing, you know, when you have a grade four and they can log in and most of Anders's assignments are online. But from 1 hour in the morning, his class all logs in for recess together. So there's like 20, 30 kids all on Zoom at the same time, all at the ages of 9 and 10. And you would think it is chaos. You would think it's chaos. However, about 5 minutes into their hour, one kid says, "Hey, anyone want to play Roblox?" And then they all whip out cell phones and they're all playing, they're on Zoom and they're staring at each other like we are, and they're sitting staring at their phones and they're talking to each other and they're back on their phones. And it's so funny. And Alicia and I talked about it at one point and we were like, well, do we really want that? Like, I think the comment was made of, you know, we want him to interact with the kids in his class, talk with the kids mm-hmm. in your class, but they don't want to. They just want to say hi and then let's play Roblox. So that's been really funny to watch from the outside. All of a sudden, my kid's recess is actually in my living room. So I've never seen that happen before. That's something wild. You know, I'm really glad that you guys are doing well. And certainly these are wild times. And in wild times, we often look for the stories that will bring us up. So I want to give you guys the chance to tell me your comfort films. Jonathan, why don't we start with you? What's your comfort film?
Honestly, if I will be honest with you, at least from what we've been experiencing with COVID, and I literally just saw it, like, I think it was, like, on Sunday. And I don't really like this movie at all. Like, I really don't, but I don't know. This is really good, but...
This is my comfort film, but I hate it.
trust me, I really didn't like it when it came out, and it was super long. But the movie is 2012. Do not like the movie. I feel like it has, like, a bad story. Like, overall, it's bad plot. And it's super long, like, three-hour movie. My goodness. But the reason why it's my comfort movie, at least as of right now, is just because of, like, what's going on. Like, I know in 2012, at a different time, they really thought, like, the end of the world was happening and da-da-da and stuff. And I know in the movie, like, the Earth is, like, being destroyed, basically, and, like, crackling down, and we're just dealing with a virus. But at the same time, I feel like comparing the two specifically, there is some similarities. Like, the funniest thing about that movie is that you really get to see how people act, right? Like, you have so many set of characters that in that movie that you kind of follow. Like, you have the main protagonist's family, and then you also have, like, some other protagonists that are in the movie, too, that they meet. And, like, they're all dealing with their own problems and stuff. But also, like, almost, like, all of them are, like, helping each other, right? Like, they're helping each other, they're helping other people, they're not selfish. And throughout the movie, you see that a lot, where a lot of people are selfish. Like, I'm going to take this car for myself. Get out of here or whatever. I'm gonna hijack this plane because I'm not going to wait for you. So, you know, good luck with that. You have, like, the one father who works for that high-rich, like, you know, Russian guy or whatever, who's, like, has all these, like, you know, luxury cars and, like, has money and stuff. And he has, like, you know, his two kids, twin kids, and I guess his girlfriend, whatever. That's not his girlfriend, whatever, but I'm not trying to spoil it. But, you know, you have him, and you see that, like, at first, he's a selfish guy. All he cares about is his own family and them, you know, making it out and being safe and da-da-da. And that's when they care about the other people who are around him to even help him, or the people that he doesn't know that were helping him. So you have that, and he also has, you know, his crazy change throughout the movie, where his girlfriend was everything in the world, and now she's, like, nothing in the world, as they try to board the whatever thing that the government has made. And then you also have, like, the government people. One guy who cares about saving the world and, like, telling people, like, you know, we have this ship, like, get on the ship, like, you know, we actually care about you, and this is, like, how things should be. And you have this other political guy who... It's like, no, we don't need those. So, like, that movie really connected to me because it really kind of opened my eyes to see, like, wow, this is really what we could have been like. Like, not that on a serious note, but we could have been like that. Like, when this all started, we had to get groceries and stuff like that. People were hoarding, right? People were, like, grabbing toilet paper and paper towels and, like, cleaning supplies and, like, all the food and stuff are running out. And you were kind of like, wow, like, what the heck is happening, right? And then that obviously cooled down. Right, when the government was more serious about certain things, like no hoarding and none of this, none of that. And it's funny because the first few days of COVID-19, I literally thought we were going to end up like the people in 2012, where it was just like everyone for themselves. We're not caring for one another. Whoever it is, my next door neighbor, well, good luck to them. They can figure it out on themselves, whatever. And it's completely the opposite way, right? Like, everyone's coming together, and that's not even here in Canada. Like, it's even in the States, and, like, celebrities, as much as regular people complain about, oh, like, they're probably living the best life in their mansion with all of these swimming pools and basketball courts and whatever it is, so what? At the end of the day, like, they're still stuck at home and they're not working and they're still there with us, right? They're putting on live performances. They're going on, you know, Instagram Live and connecting with fans when they never do that, right? They're doing stuff on Zoom, right? So, and obviously they're donating their money to charities stuff like that, but then they like, we're kind of all in this together, and it's crazy to see that, like, as a whole world specifically, how we're connecting and we're caring about one another, and we're sending supplies out to the places that need it and stuff like that, and we're sending doctors and stuff, and, like, that is so amazing. And, like, in that movie, that was not, obviously, the situation. So, honestly, that's my comfort movie, because it's funny, like, when I watch that, it makes me think of, like, all the good things we're actually doing. And all the care that we're doing too, you know, to show out there in the world, because we really could have ended up like 2012 and we could have just been like, not even for themselves, and, you know, none of this would be happening, right? But it's going to be the opposite way.
So to be clear, your comfort film is about the end of the world as we know it, and you feel fine.
Exactly.
I love your explanation, and I love how you got there, because I sat when you told first started that, I'm like, what is wrong with you? This movie is about the destruction of humanity, and it makes me feel good. Daniel, have you seen 2012? Does it help you, you know, sleep well at night knowing that we're not as bad as they are?
I have seen 2012. Really enjoyed it. I don't think I was really thinking the same thing when I seen it, but I mean, I can see how, like, you can kind of make that connection, though, of, like, you know, we could have been like this, but, you know, luckily people are working together rather than against each other.
You know, Jonathan, I'm gonna back you up on this, and it not because I love 2012. But it, because the guy who made 2012 is a director named Roland Emmerich. Mm-hmm. And Roland Emmerich, if you look at his filmography, 2012 fits in very, very neatly with some of it. Now, some of his movies are just hot garbage. Like, even 2012, like you said, it's not a good movie, but it's like, it's a popcorn movie, right? Like, it's like a fun movie. Mm-hmm. But, like, this is a guy that did The Day After Tomorrow. This is the guy that did Independence Day. And those are the ones he did that really, really landed.
Those were good.
Yeah. And they do have that effect. They do have that effect. Like Independence Day, it is one of the movies I go back to all the time just for fun. And that is that is like classic Will Smith and Goldblum and all that stuff. And it's the same type of movie. You know, the world is ending. People got to come together and pull it together. Same with Day After Tomorrow. Day After Tomorrow is funny because at one point the villain is like snow. Here comes the ice! And, you know, but this fits in very, 2012 fits in very, very neatly with the way he makes his movies. So I actually will back you up on that, because those, his movies are totally designed to be like the world comes together to, well, save the world. 2012 is funny too, because like as a pastor, there's like a Noah's Ark moment where they're like on this ship.
Yeah.
And isn't it, are they actually in water? It's been so long since I've seen the film.
They're on a ship that's like stationed to some sort of machine that's like on the water, and like all the people are there, and that's when I said like the two political people are fighting with each other, and the one guy is like, oh, like, we need to let these people on. Like, what would we tell our children, like, when this is all over, you know? Because he's talking about the future, about, like, oh, like, we had to kill, like, you know, all these, like, innocent people, whatever, to start up again, right? And, like, all the world leaders are like, oh, you know what? Like, I speak for Britain. I speak for Canada. We should let these people on. And the other political guy's like, no, we don't have enough resources. Like, they're not important. Like, even if they got the ticket, so what? We got to go, like, you know, the scientific thing said that it's coming quicker than expected. We can't get these people on. That's literally, like, the Noah's Ark sort of moment, right? Because, like, all the people were, like, banging on Noah's Ark and was like, Noah, let me in. And he didn't. And it was almost the exact same situation where the people like, let me in, I have a ticket, da-da-da. And they're like, nope, sorry, like, we'll just take all the important world leaders in the world and restart the world. See ya.
I love your explanation. That's a good pick. Daniel, what is your comfort film?
So when you kind of told us, you know, what we were doing, I took time to actually think about it. And honestly, I don't think I have one.
Oh, wow. You just blew this podcast out of the water.
End it right here.
Thanks so much for coming on, Daniel.
Kicks me out. No, and I even, like, you know, I went to my mom and I was like, can you think of any movie that maybe, you know, I'm, you know, talk about the most, or I'm like, you know, oh, I really want to watch this, like, you know. And even she was like, I can't, you know, I can't think of one single movie. So I think I kind of have more of like a comfort genre of movie.
Sure.
Like, I'm probably gonna sound like a psychopath, but like, I love psychological thrillers.
Okay.
And I do kind of find comfort in them, because a lot of the times when I watch, you know, like movies on Netflix that are, you know, psychological thrillers, it's either when I'm, you know, hanging out with friends such as like Kat or Jacob, or, you know, I feel like I'm really in my own head, and like, if I'm having like, you know, bad thoughts or something, like, you know, a psychological thriller is really a movie that I like to watch, because I can think about whatever's happening. And 90% of the time in movies like those, it's, you know, you have to be thinking so you understand, like, you know, really what the movie's about, or you can kind of catch on to certain things that characters say or stuff in the background that's going to tie into, like, you know, the climax of the movie or the twist at the end or whatever the, you know, whatever the movie has. And it kind of, like, you know, brings me back down and really centers, like, my focus onto whatever it is. And, like, you know, I love a good, like, spooky movie. Nothing, like, demonic, but I think I'm more of, like, a comfort genre person than a specific singular movie.
What are some of the ones there that you like to rewatch?
Gosh, maybe I'm just going to, like, pull up my Netflix to... Of course, like, none of the ones showing up are any psychological thrillers. Okay, well, I really liked Bird Box.
Okay.
I know I watched that probably 3 times just around the time that it came out. I haven't watched it recently. But, like, I really enjoyed that movie. I don't know, a lot of just Inception I've seen a few times, and that one really, like, you really have to think throughout the whole movie. I'm really into ones that have a murderer, I guess. One that I just, like, I can think of, it's a Netflix one. It's called The Open House. I've seen that, I think, twice. But, like, you know, a movie like that where, you know, there's somebody, you know, stalking the main characters and they're trying to figure out who it is, why they're doing it. Oh, are they, you know, in the house right now with us? You know, kind of stuff like that where, like, people are kind of, you know, you're always on edge. And even, like, as the watcher, you're on edge the whole time. And you're trying to figure out what's happening in the story just as much as the characters are.
This is fascinating to me. Honestly, this is really interesting to me. So what is it about the psychological thriller? I mean, you said it helps you think things through. But you like to, when you're stressed out, have something that you can really sort of focus on? Is that the way to describe it? Or
Well, yeah. Because I guess, like, for me... You know, I generally don't stress about, like, I guess, like, one specific thing. I kind of hold in all of my stress, and then it eventually kind of all combines together. And there's, like, you know, multiple things that I'm trying to focus on, like, dealing with the stress. And watching a psychological thriller, that really gives me, you know, I can kind of take a step back and, you know, focus, even if it's only for an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours. I'm really just focusing on that one thing. And, you know, with psychological thrillers, there's always, like, that kind of, like, little bit of adrenaline that you get, because it's you're like on the edge, like, what's going to happen next, who's going to turn around that corner, oh, that person said, you know, this line, and that, you know, reminds me of what happened in this other scene, like, you know, you're kind of always on edge and focusing and everything. And I think for me, it comforts me, because I'm able to really pull my focus onto that one thing and let everything just kind of be outside.
No, that makes sense. Jonathan, I have a feeling that you're going to be all in on this too. So I'm interested, like, what do you think about that? I know horror is your game. That's your main thing. But what do you think about the psychological thrillers as, like, a stress relief?
Well, for me, I love horror movies, but I don't like thrillers. I don't like the movies where the antagonist or, the evil thing is a person that is, in reality, a killable person. It just doesn't do anything to the Jasons, the Freddy Kruegers, even though his story's a little bit different. But either way, even like the one on Netflix, I can't remember what it's called, but it's basically the one with like the clown or whatever. There's so many of those movies where, I look at it and I can watch them, I can sit down and actually enjoy them, but they're not the same to me, like a psychological horror. For me personally, I don't know, I just seem to really be more into, when it comes to the horror genre, your ghosts, your demons, your unexplained phenomenons, that sort of thing, because at the end of the day, this is not the reality, and even if it was, how the heck do you stop something like this? I feel like what the characters would feel in this situation. Like, I would actually feel paranoid, I would feel scared. I would be stressed out because I have no idea how to handle the situation because no one has the answers to this thing. Compared to a person who's 6'8", who's 3 inches taller than me and 270 walking around with a chainsaw. And yes, sometimes it's definitely hard to run away from that. But at the same time, it's kind of I'm in the city. Like, if a 6'8" person's going to come at me or whatever, you dang right know I'm just going to run through a crowd of people. That person's still going to chase me. I have the cops around. I could call 911. There's so many things going around. I'm like, there's no way that this person would hunt me down, from, Barrie to Toronto, just like that. but overall, what Daniel is saying overall, especially when it comes to the horror genre, I am 100% down with everything he says because I definitely do believe in what exactly he's saying. I don't know, horror movies just make me feel comfortable, makes me feel at ease, sort of thing. But obviously, I'm picky with the psychological horror versus psychological thriller. To horror, to thriller, whatever. So
then this sort of thing, Daniel, the psychological thriller genre and horror for Jonathan, less the psychological, but this is really sort of a stress release for you, if I'm hearing you correctly, that you're in the middle of this wild, intense sort of what's going to happen next. And that sort of helps you settle down. Am I understanding right?
Yeah, and also, even when Jonathan was talking, I was thinking about it more. I think it's also kind of a stress relief for me because I'm also stressed while I'm watching it. Hmm. And, I get that separate stress of what's happening in the movie, but at the end of the movie, that stress is gone. Hmm. So I guess I kind of get that feel of, relief. Okay, I focus my attention on this, on what was happening. And now that stress that it caused me is gone. So it kind of eases the stress around me because it reminds me that that stress as well is going to end eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really interesting, guys. I thank you for sharing that. Well, my pick for my comfort film this week is a little bit different, wildly different. In fact, it's not even a film. I'm staring at it. I actually have it on disc, even though I don't need it. My comfort film, my comfort media, if you will, is rewatching episodes of The Office. It's funny. I will throw one on at random. Every few months, I'll throw one on at random, and they're so easily to watch. I find myself going through the series probably twice a year. There's something so beautiful about the show, and I'm going to wax wise or try to sound like I'm waxing wise on The Office. There is something so beautiful in it being so mundane. And it just feels like normal life. And yes, wild things happen. And yes, it's ridiculous. But just watching it and seeing the lives of these people and seeing them care about one another, like Jonathan was saying, the opposite of 2012. And some seasons, some episodes are better than the other. But every time I watch The Office, I feel like I have sort of come home, and you sort of end up watching these people that you feel like you know them. They just feel like, and there are some other good shows for that, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine is another one, Parks and Rec, they're all by the same, all by Michael Schur. But the American version of The Office specifically is so heartwarming. And I think actually there's a beautiful line at the end of the series where Creed, I could be wrong, makes a comment and says that the amazing thing about humanity is that no matter where they are, they seem to try and make it home. And that sums up the series so beautifully, beautifully well, because you have these people that are sort of, the only reason they know each other is because they are sitting 10 feet across from one another behind a desk. And there is some sort of family, non-family conversation that takes place between them that just makes it so lovable. And yes, that is something that I turn to as comfort media.
I love The Office. Again, specifically the U.S. version. I've never watched the U.K. version. But, I definitely, agree. Like, it's... I know the style is, a mockumentary. So, yes, it is, you know, scripted and whatever, but a lot of the times it just feels so natural and so real that it's... I feel like it's such an easy... It's an easy show to connect to. And, you know, you feel like these things are actually happening. And, again, even though a lot of the things are, silly and whatever, it's stuff that you can relate somehow into your own life, if it may not even be, you know, in a work setting. But, you know, I find that there's always characters and scenarios that you can relate to, and you can, you know, even take away some things from certain, you know, circumstances or scenarios from the actual show, bring it into your real life. And, yeah, it really connects with me. And, you know, all of the characters are just so character-y, I guess. Yeah. You know, it's definitely one of my favorite TV shows.
Personally, I do not love it as much as most people do, but I do enjoy it at times specifically. It's hard to say with me, because, I've only watched it a few times. I think I've gotten up to maybe, season 3... maybe 4. And the characters, they're for sure lovable. And the comedy is usually really good. There's times where it gets me laughing, and for me with comedy, you know, it really takes dark humor to really make me laugh. But the humor that's in this show just kind of makes me just feel good. And at times, like I said, when it comes to laughter and happiness, you feel comfortable. And I feel like with this show, and just with a lot of other shows that I do watch, it makes me feel comfortable. And it makes me feel at ease. There's no stress. All I'm doing is just laughing, right? Anything that happened to me, 30 minutes before that show or that episode or something happened in the day, if I throw this on, right, the comedy, the humor, right, the positivity makes me feel good. And I know for certain people it's different. Some people, it's once the show is done or once the movie's done, you kind of go back to, you know, that stress phase again. But with me, it's once it's done, it's no, I feel good from there on. It stays with me, you know, regardless if it's the season finale of the show to, oh, I just took a break because I need to do other things and maybe come back to it. I know personally, it's definitely one of the things that for sure will make you feel at ease and feel at home, sort of thing.
Right.
I think with all this time, with us being at home and not being able to do things, I think we should really take the time to, when we watch movies and TV shows, to see what actually makes us feel better. Not just maybe about ourselves, but maybe better of our situation. Maybe what makes us more positive, what makes us more happy, what makes us more or less stressful. Because those are the things that will take us away from depression and sadness. That's something that a lot of us face in this world is depression, and being at home, stuck at home and not being able to do a lot of things or being laid off leads to depression for sure. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it, you're right. You guys are right. I don't watch it over and over again cause it's funny. I mean, it is funny, but the truth is I just keep getting drawn in. Definitely a comfort for me. Guys, thank you so much for coming on. This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate it. Daniel, do you want to plug what you're doing?
Sure. Yeah, so I know I think you mentioned it earlier when you were kind of introducing us. You know, I'm still hosting Teen Fish. This month we are going to be watching a movie called Polaroid. It's not a brand new movie, but it did. It just came out in 2019. It is a psychological thriller. I actually thought of it when you had told us to think about our comfort films, and I kind of came to the conclusion that it's more of a comfort genre for myself. So I've decided to do that movie for this month. And we are going to be, you know, continuing to do it each month, even throughout, you know, the quarantining, the social distancing. And I do have some new ideas in mind that I want to maybe bring to Teen Fish, but those definitely won't be starting right away. But yeah, we have a Teen Fish, which is definitely a lot of fun and a good listen.
Yeah, and for those listeners that aren't aware, Teen Fish, you guys do it once a month, roughly once a month? Yeah. And it's when the teens take over the podcast, and that's always interesting because you get to hear behind the scenes of what's going on in their minds about the stuff that they're dealing with. It's really interesting, and I always love listening to those episodes. I'm glad that Daniel keeps doing that, and thank you for doing that. And then both of you guys, I mean, we have something coming up in the summer. Jonathan, do you want to talk about that?
About the summer?
Yeah. What we're doing in this, what, not what you're doing in the summer, what we're doing in the summer.
I'm going to the beach.
If you're allowed. No.
It's true.
Yeah, sure. I'm trying to think. Obviously, cut this off, Steve, but I'm trying to think what exactly
the podcast. Are we doing? Jonathan, talk about the podcast.
Oh, yes, the Star Wars podcast.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So, basically, this summer, what we have in mind is we are going through, as Steve has mentioned before, we are going through all the Star Wars movies, A New Hope, which was obviously spanned those three movies all the way to The Phantom Menace. Ooh, my favorite. and those three. And obviously, we're going through the other ones. We're definitely going to hit up new ones as well to end off at least that part of the Skywalker saga. So make sure you tune with us in the summer because we are going to be hammering those out specifically. And if you love Star Wars, it's definitely something that you will enjoy from this team. If you're not a huge fan of Star Wars, but you just really want to hear what we're talking about and is this movie good? Is this movie not good? It's still a good treat because at the end of the day, you know, there are definitely certain movies that we agree and we love and we recommend. And there's other ones where we look at it and say, maybe not. but either way, it will still be a great treat. So make sure you guys definitely check us out throughout the summer as we'll be releasing each podcast on every movie.
You know, it's funny, looking back now, guys, when we started developing the Star Wars podcast with the youth, and Daniel and I have been talking about this for over a year.
Yeah.
Now it's like, well, there's no other movies in the summer anyway. Now there's just no movie theaters, so it works out great. But, I mean, the plan was for us to always just sort of do it one a week to do Star Wars ones with the youth, and a lot of them they haven't seen. Especially older ones, so it's been kind of fun doing that, and we're working those out in preparation for the summer. But yeah, so that's been fun. We will be back next week to continue on our series on comfort films, and we're so glad that you could join us this week. Thank you guys for being on. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
Thank you for having us.
And for you at home, stay safe and stay comfortable.